Chapter 15. The hut was gone, and Nim was too tired to start looking for what was left of it. The last of the storm clouds disappeared from the sky. The sun sank, gold and low, and Nim and Alex were still lying on the beach talking. Selkie slipped back into the water to fish for her supper. Fred found some seaweed left on the beach by angry waves. Chica gave them a long look and dragged herself toward the water. Nim hugged her as tight as you can hug a large green turtle. "Goodbye till next year." "Thank you for rescuing me," Alex said, and kissed the top of Chica's wrinkled head. Chica looked up at her and blinked. It was always hard to tell what Chica was thinking. "We need to go to the emergency cave before the sun goes down," Nim said. She had a feeling Alex might have been very good at rock climbing in the dark. "We can have an emergency can for dinner, and then a coconut from the raft." "I wonder where the other raft went," said Nim, but she was wondering even more than Jack was. The other raft had been tossed out of Keyhole Cove when the sea went crazy, but it had bounced clear of the swirling reef waters and had been caught by the monster waves raging out to the west, and grabbed by an exhausted man with a scar on his forehead and a two-week-old beard. Alex wasn't any better at rock climbing than Nim had thought she'd be, but she loved the cave. "Like Alibaba's," she exclaimed. "I cleaned the hut so nicely," Nim said gloomily. "I even made you a new sleeping mat." Alex hugged her, and it wasn't quite the same as hugging Jack, and not quite the same as snuggling into Selkie, but it made her believe that the world might get better again. Nim woke to see Alex sitting at the door of the cave, watching the sun rise over Fire Mountain. "And look at the sea," said Alex. The waves rolled gently, washed clean and blue. Birds soared and swooped, screeched and fish. Iguanas and lizards scrabbled. Sea lions lazed, and their king's honk echoed across the water. Selkie woofed good morning. But when Nim had hugged her and rubbed noses, Selkie slipped down the rocks, and a moment later her brown head popped up at Sea Lion Point beside the king's. Fred grazed for seaweed in the tidal pools. He didn't quite trust this ocean yet. Nim and Alex had a coconut and emergency rice pudding for breakfast, set up the satellite dish and the solar panel on a flat rock above the cave, plugged the computer and phone into charge, and went out to explore. So they went to Turtle Beach, Sea Lion Point, and Hissing Stones, and Keyhole Cove, where it all began, said Alex. "Because if I hadn't done the experiment, I wouldn't have been able to write back again, and you would never have come." Already that seemed impossible. They went on exploring. Nim's beautiful island was shredded and messy with bits of hut, pieces of shirts and desk, coconuts, palm branches, broken trees, and lying down bushes. "As if it had a giant tantrum," Alex exclaimed. The garden was worse. It looked as if Selkie had taken her sea lion family up for a party. Pea plants were mashed, avocados were mushed, and tomatoes were soup. Some plants had so few leaves it was hard to remember what they used to be. The garden shed, with all the bananas still on their hook, had been lifted right over the wall and dropped neatly in the middle of the bamboo grove. Nim and Alex collected 3 green pineapples, a few mashed strawberries, and scattered pea pods. They hauled broken bits out of the pool and into the compost heap and saved 2 avocados, a tomato, and 10 more strawberries. "And all the sweet potatoes will be safe," Nim said, "when we feel like digging them." They chucked broken plants off the garden and propped up the living ones, and when they were worn out, Nim taught Alex how to slide down the waterfall into the pool, and then told Alex her stories till they were ready to work again. She told her more stories that night when they tried to sleep on the hard cave floor. The stories were funny and made Nim laugh, exciting, so she had to hold her breath. And someone else that made her feel soft and warm and happy sad, so she wanted to hug Selkie. Except that Selkie had decided it was too hard to go all the way up to the cave for the night and was sleeping with the sea lions. The next day they started clearing the grasslands and beaches, dragging branches into piles for bonfires and coconuts into heaps for eating, and sorting out anything else that might have come from the hut or could be useful to build a new one. And all the time they heaved and carried and sorted, Nim worried about when Jack would get home and when Alex would leave. She hated the stories Alex told her about her home in the city because she wanted to pretend that Alex could stay on the island forever and ever. They took a different path to the garden and found Nim's favorite blue glass bottle, her comb, a good piece of rope under a dead jellyfish, and her wagon hooked on a branch at the top of a tree. The tree wasn't hard to climb, but it was a long stretch from the last safe branch, and when the wagon tumbled to the ground, so did Nim. The scab rubbed off her knee, and it began to bleed again. Nim didn't cry, but Alex did. "I had bandages, cream, a whole first aid box for you," she sobbed. But she helped Nim clean out the sand out with fresh coconut juice. And then Fred hinted they ought to eat the coconut now that they'd opened it. So they had it for lunch with bananas. And soon they were at the pool and had a comb. And they washed their hair and combed out 2 days of tangles, which hurt more than the skin knee. Alex looked so pretty, tugging the knots out of her long gold hair. And she was still so sad about Nim's knee. "Wait here," Nim ordered, and ran all the way to the cave and back out again without stopping to look out to sea. "Close your eyes," she said, and dropped the coconut pearl into Alex's hands. "I was going to give it to you if you went away, but it seems like you need it now." "Oh, Nim," said Alex, "I can't take this." "I had it in front of my mother's picture," Nim said, "but a picture can't really see, so I want you to have it." Alex got soggy again. "If I could have a daughter," she said when she could talk, "I want her to be exactly like you." Suddenly, the honking from the sea lions was too loud to hear anything else. Nim flew down the hill, and Selkie led the whole herd into the water, splashing and barking at the strange shape drifting in through the reef. And Jack staggered off the bag of coconuts and waded into the sand. And then he and Nim did a wild, "What happened? You're okay?" laughing, hugging dance. But Jack went pale as he stared at where the hut used to be. "The science stuff is safe," Nim said, but her father didn't seem to care as much as she'd thought he would. "I'm never leaving you alone," and then he stopped and couldn't say anything more. Alex was coming down the hill. "There's something I've got to tell you," said Nim.